What's up, fellas? Welcome to the XF Fantasy Football Podcast Special Thanksgiving Edition. I just wanted to say thanks to you guys, the league, for making this the best one out there. Every year we continue to get better and better, especially with this podcast. So I just want to say thanks to you guys. I hope that you guys have a great Thanksgiving filled with family, food, and especially football. All right, Cody, you know what to do. What is up? Welcome to the XF Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Cub Squiz, and my co-host today faked so many injuries in Pee Wee Sports that we never knew if he was actually hurt or not. He's blacker than the night sky he disappears into. I'll be his Robin tonight. Give it up for Mr. Batman himself, your boy, my boy, D. What up, bro?
What up, Cubs? It's good to be on the podcast. It's good you've gone black to black the last 2 weeks with me and JT.
Yeah.
I'm glad to be here.
I was not saving you guys for last. I don't think you guys were last for a reason. It just happened to work out that way. Wait, what? so glad you're really on the show, man. I think I've known you probably longer than anybody in this entire league. From Pee Wee all the way to Boys and Girls Club to living two streets over, and you allowed me to be the token white guy in your group, so I appreciate that.
Yeah, man, it's crazy what this league has become and how far it's progressed, and this podcast is just a testament to how great this league actually is, man. And
yeah, I feel you. Hey, sorry to put you on the spot, bro, but I gotta know, because you have a small percent chance of actually making the playoffs. So I gotta hear, you're currently at 6-6, 500. How you feeling about your playoff chances? You gotta have a lot of things happen.
You know what, Cobes? I don't feel very good about my chances, man. My team is pretty mediocre. I didn't make one trade at all this year. I thought I had a pretty good team with Saquon leading the way. And then after his injury, he just has looked the same with Daniel Jones as his quarterback. He just doesn't get the PPR touches like he used to with Eli Manning as his quarterback. And I thought Phillip Rivers was going to be a solid quarterback for me this year, but my dude's washed, bro.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That fool probably has zero sleep with his 400 kids he has.
And this fool is still driving from San Diego to L.A. because he doesn't want to move.
Really? I did not know that.
Yeah, bro, it's crazy, but
his old ass.
You know what?
With his bus of kids.
I barely scooted into the playoffs last year. Maybe there's a chance I can do it this year, but if I make it into the playoffs, I don't see me doing much.
Hey, hopefully you and I will be matched up if that does happen. I think the entire league means this when I say it, is we hope you beat the shit out of Victor this week.
Yeah, bro. If one thing that I could prevent this year would be Victor getting into the playoffs, that would be pretty dope, because Victor talks a lot of shit, and I would love nothing more than see his team one place out of the playoffs.
Yeah, I've been the bubble guy before, so I feel you. Just to keep this moving on, but you know, I gotta ask, how about them Cowboys?
Bro, they are so sorry, man. But what do we expect from a team that lost to the Jets? They barely lost to the Patriots at Foxborough in pretty shitty conditions, so I'm not too upset.
Yeah. You guys have given the Eagles new life and have given us a small window to
get back into this playoff run. The Eagles actually have the easiest schedule rest of the year up to the playoffs. So hopefully we can take advantage of that. And we need, which obviously we're going to be playing Dallas one more time, but it'd be awesome if Dallas would lose not only the game against the Eagles, but at least one other game.
Again. I don't know, bro. You saw that quarterback on Sunday. Do you trust your boy number 11?
When he has wide receivers that are competent, yes.
Is he going to have them the rest of the year?
They both will. Nelson Aguilar and Alshon Jeffrey should be back this week. And I doubt Jordan Howard will be back, but I do think Alshon and Aguilar will be back. And we're playing against Miami, so yes.
Ah, man, I still got the Cowboys the rest of the way, but
yeah,
I still hate that the Cowboys have still given the Eagles a chance to get back in this bitch.
Yep, I agree. I absolutely agree. Well, don't get me wrong, the Eagles have looked awful this year, but Dallas hasn't won a game against a 500 team or better. It's nice to win, but playoffs are close, and they just are currently have the worst record in the as a division winner currently.
Well, at least someone has to have the worst division going to the playoffs, but at least you're in the playoffs, and that's what I'm hoping to do. At least you just got to get in.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, say if Dallas does make the playoffs, and that's a big if, does Mr. Clap-O-Matic come back for another year as that Cowboys head coach?
Knowing Jason Garrett, the Cowboys will somehow rally, make it to the NFC playoffs, make it to the NFC title game, and somehow secure another season or two
even with his job. Even with Jerry Jones's comments after Sunday, you really think that's real?
I somehow think this dude knows how to survive when things get tough. He doesn't know how to perform when things are going great, but when he has his back against the wall, he somehow performs.
Yeah, I guess that's true. All right.
If he doesn't, I'll be glad to see his ass go.
Yeah, I think every Cowboys fan would love that. Well, who... I know this isn't on our... on our notes, but I gotta, I guess, ask a question. If, say, Jason Garrett is fired, who would you want as the one coach to get hired? Who would be your one person? Don't give me a few, just give me one.
Urban Meyer.
Okay, wow. I was not expecting that, but from a college football guy, I kind of respect that answer.
I believe in people who are winners, and I think that guy has just won wherever he's been, and I think he can just instill a winning mentality to the Cowboys that's been missing for the past 20 years.
I can respect that. Solid answer. He's also a cheater. What?
Michelob Ultra here with your picks from Week 12.
All right, guys, here we go. So the best player of the week, the coach of the week, goes to Lamar Jackson again. I think this is like his third or fourth time that he's put up the most points in the league since week one. What a steal for Dip. Yeah, you know, Andrew Luck losing him wasn't ideal, but Lamar's killing it. And if you don't keep him, Dip, somebody's going to snag him in the end of the first round. Guarantee it in our league. The fact of the week, Victor Lugo will win out and win the 2019 XF Fantasy Football Championship. There's your fact of the week, boys. Said it here first. Hashtag Tomo. And then the worst coach of the week would go to Luis Johnson. I'm sorry, Weej. If you would have played Nyheim Hines over Taylor Gabriel in your flex, that would have done enough to beat Dip. Unfortunately for you, you had to face Lamar Jackson, and he threw up 5 TDs, ridiculous numbers. Sucks to suck. Better win this next week, just like me, and we'll go from there. See you guys.
Pick'ems. It's sponsored by Pick'ems. It's $5, you cheap fucks.
Congrats to D-Balls to winning $40 for Pick'ems.
Yeah, since Pick'ems just hasn't been the most sought after thing, we're going to discontinue. So this will be actually the last Pick'ems this past week. We're going to just switch to a more bookie-style betting. I'll send that out on Saturday, maybe even Friday, just with lines. And we're going to, if you want to bet on lines rather than go and bet on different sites, we'll just do it through me. I'll be interested in doing that. So no more Pick'ems because you guys are cheap fucks. Nice. All right, next up. We're going to talk about all kinds of trades from in the NFL, in the league, and in our league trade block in Trade Galore.
There was only one trade. Almost one trade. Cobes and Pat making a huge trade. Cobes sending CMC, Allen Robinson, and Dyrell Williams for D-Hop, Aaron Jones, and Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, what's your thoughts on this, bro?
At first, I didn't think it was a big deal. And then I thought, man, that's kind of shady. And then I thought on some more, and I thought, man, that's kind of bush league. And I thought on it some more, and I thought it was an outright travesty, man. What the hell are you thinking, bro? That's not fucking cool.
Dude, you have no idea how much I overthought this trade. And don't get me wrong, like, I know everyone's going to be like, if anyone's in that position, you would do that. Like, Christian McCaffrey, like, I'm thinking, yes, I was thinking about this year, but I'm also thinking about the next 2 years. Like, Christian McCaffrey, you look at his stats, and he's averaging probably around, like, 27 points a game, which is unreal for a running back.
For sure.
Yeah, and so, like, you know, don't get me wrong, I thought this was the biggest trade in our league's history. I understand why it got vetoed. My team would have been looking real nice going into the playoffs. Too nice from what it seems, but Pat had been making offers for Christian McCaffrey since week one. He told me that Christian McCaffrey would end up on his team at the end of the year, and I was like, yeah, okay. We went back and forth probably few times in the year, and just never happened. And then at the deadline, we probably said and kind of finalized the deal, I'd say probably around 10 p.m. but I sat on it.
Made the final offer? Did you come to him with that deal, or did he come to you with that deal?
So originally he asked me if Christian McCaffrey was available, and I was like, I have a open door policy where everyone's available just for the right price.
Sure.
And so he asked, like which players I'd be interested in. He asked me to name the top six players I'd be interested in. In all honesty, I named only five because there was only five people on his team worthwhile. Off the top of my head, it was, you know, Hopkins, Aaron Jones, Devontae Adams, Le'Veon Bell, and I want to say Keenan Allen. I think that's five.
Okay.
And then he offered me, I think, D-Hop and Aaron Jones, and in honesty, I said no to that. Like, I think Christian McCaffrey, like, week in and week out is more consistent than the both of them combined. And then he countered offered and threw in Keenan Allen, and just kind of where I was with my wide receivers with OBJ, Mark Cooper, and Keenan Allen. I didn't want another wide receiver. Like, it just, it'd be almost pointless to go into the playoffs. I mean, it'd be, I'd say, more of a luxury to go in the playoffs with four wide receivers when I can only start three of them, you know?
Right.
And so I switched the Keenan Allen for Le'Veon Bell, and he ultimately said, fuck it. I think those were the quote, fuck it. And he made the offer, and then he sent it, and it literally sat in my inbox for probably until 11:40-ish, and then that's when I accepted it. But like I talked with my friend that's not in the league and just got his opinion. And
do you want to reveal this source so we can
yeah, his name is Nat Ratafan. He is my Asian friend, and he does a lot of fantasy football too, and he's in a keeper league, but his he's jealous of how well our league runs and stuff, and he's only a 10 man, but they've gone for like 10 years. And Dips met
him before. Speaking of 10 years, boys, next year is this league's 10th year.
Come on.
We're going to do it big. We don't know what we're going to do yet, but start thinking some ideas.
Yes, sir. Yeah, and so that's kind of how that trade came out. And, you know, as much as it sucks that I got denied, like, I low-key kind of thankful that it did, because I get Christian McCaffrey for the next 2 years. And, you know, Lord willing, he's as consistent as he is this year as, you know, the future McCaffrey will be.
And you were right, bro. JC and Patrick going back and forth really ended up swaying my mind and ended me vetoing that trade.
Dude, I could show you text messages where I told Pat to not talk, to literally say his piece about, just do a very short paragraph of him ultimately saying why he believes this trade is fair. And I did the same thing. Everyone's a grown-ass man that can make, you know, the veto decision themselves. And then I was like, hey, back off, don't text. And sure enough, he went on a full rant, which JC is, I put his rally cap on and started rallying the troops, and got his pitchforks and his torches to come burn down this trade. And he did just that. I think Victor said it, but JC has a lot of power in this league. And
yeah, bro. As friendly as my ass, bro.
Yeah, that fool
most
is.
Most manipulative.
I would say, yeah, most devious.
For sure.
But, yeah, I mean, it is what it is. And, I mean, Pat might get the short end of the stick with, you know, getting in the dress and losing out on Christian McCaffrey. So, kind of sucks for the rookie, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I was originally okay with it because I thought that's a cool idea and it felt like it was something new for the league. But then I remembered I can still make the playoffs. And if I went against your team, that would suck. And so, ultimately, for the good of my team and the league, I had to veto it.
Yeah, I feel you. I also, like, with Pat also kind of saying this and kind of that he's had these players on his team for the last, you know, week, since week four or something like that, and he is literally right in last place. And so, like, it's not like they have done him a service in getting him to the playoffs. He's
very true.
He, like, looking at his team on paper, you'd be like, man, I would pick his team up any day, but literally has two wins. He's also got really unlucky with the schedule part of that, but it happens every year. I think it happened to JC last year, and then I think D-Ball's the year before, and so it's just part of the league.
Yeah, unfortunately for him, yeah, that's just how it happens sometimes.
Yep. Let's take a look at the waiver wire pickups in the Waiver Wire Wednesday. We'll look at the top five most money spent. This segment is sponsored by Lugo's Lip Balm for continuous chapped ass lips. This waiver wire was such shit that I am literally on the toilet taking a shit. But first up, we got JT spending $85, going big money, saying, fuck it, I don't want to be in this dress for James Washington, And then JT also spent $30 on Mike Gesicki, tight end for the Miami Dolphins. It's a reach. Yikes. And then I spent $20 on Fred Warner. Been pretty solid the past 3 weeks. And then JT spent another $20 on a kicker, Josh Lambeau. Nice. And then JC spent a whole $8 on Eric Reed. Let's get into the injuries of the week.
Oh. Ow. Ouch.
San Francisco running back Jeff Wilson out of UNT is out with illness. Get better, buddy. We need you back representing UNT as soon as possible.
Caw! All right.
Caw!
Julio Jones exited the game briefly with a shoulder injury. He ended up coming back in the game, but yeah, looks to play next week.
I'm not going to lie. I'm hoping that injury lingers because I'm going to need Julio Jones to kind of not really show up for Dippy's team because I need Dippy to take that L next week.
I hear that. Yeah.
Miami Dolphins wide receiver Jakeem Grant suffered an ankle injury and receiver Albert Wilson suffered a ribs injury.
Yeah, I think Grant's probably going to end up not playing the rest of the year. Victor picked him up and dropped his ass real quick after that injury. Go for it. What were you about to say?
Yeah, I'm just saying Jakeem Grant is just like one of those guys who's always just picked up, never played, and always back on the waiver wire.
Yep. Ain't that the truth. Redskins wide receiver Paul Richardson exited the game on Sunday with a hamstring injury. Let's be real. Ain't nobody gonna pick his ass up.
Nah, man. Keep him on the waiver wire. And finally, Washington Redskins quarterback Dwayne Haskins has his arm in a sling following the team's win on Sunday. He said he played with an injured wrist and was pretty banged up, but when he spoke with reporters following the game, when he asked how serious the injury was, he said, "I'm good." I mean, he was good enough to take some selfies on the sideline, man.
Dude, I saw that. The coach was straight up looking for him for the last to knee the ball, and had to get old man Case Keenum in to knee the ball because this fool was taking a selfie with a fan during the game.
Dude, it's a good look, a bad look.
Yeah, I have no idea, but a rookie gets his first career NFL game win. All right. We're going to take a look at all 14 teams in the power rankings from the top of the list to the
L7 Weenie,
a.k.a. the bottom feeders.
Looking at the table, 1 through 14, we'll start with number 10, who looks like he just got eliminated from the playoffs. Not your Dennis Johnson, come in at 5-7. Then number 11, Pistachios at 4-8. Number 12, just going to send it at 4-8. And then the juicy part.
Give it to us.
Your boy, Dak Hall Anonymous, hanging on, barely, at 2-10. And spot number 13. And then my boy, Danish Dynamite, getting ready for that dress at 2-10, sitting at that 14 slot.
Yeah, ain't gonna lie. Like, I'm excited to see those two matchups. And who would have thought at the very beginning of the year, one, we voted Noah to possibly be this year's champ, and he is one of the few people that are eliminated from the playoffs before week 13 even begins. Pretty nuts.
And then, yeah, Noah had a good run the last 2 years, making it to the championship game, but his drafting, and I think being at the top of the draft really hurt him.
Yep, I agree. And then Birdo being projected to actually get last place and be the dress wearer is locked into a playoff position. Pretty impressive.
I'm not even gonna lie, bro. Birdo has impressed me a lot this season. And I honestly think he knew he was gonna have this resurgent season because he's gonna have all the time in the world to look at his fantasy team and prepare and get this hoe ready.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Like, I was astonished. I love Birdo to death, but he is not the smartest guy, and he has proved us all wrong in fantasy football this year. His team has looked pretty solid. He's won 2/3 of his games already. But talking about the two bottom feeders, JT and Pat, like, I thought we would at least get one person get 10 wins before two people got 10 losses, which is mind-boggling. But that's how this league kind of rolls out sometimes.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy how it works out sometimes. Like, I think just Patrick's had the worst luck. He has a pretty decent team, and then JT, you know, vacations, you know, they're distracting.
Yeah, this fool's on every damn vacation, and for our boys' trip, this fool's already saying, I don't know, I got some vacations to save up for, but fool's already planning on one every single weekend. Came and pencil us in, dog. But
yeah, JT has the kind of same mentality that I have. I kind of just want to take it easy and kind of not overplay too hard, but I kind of think he took it a little bit too easy this season.
Yeah, I agree. He's usually a pretty good competitor, and I'd say top 8 player in the league each year, and not the case this year, but just to kind of get the ball moving along. But first place currently is Keaton at 9-3. JC at 9-3. Both currently have a first round bye. It looks like JC is, I want to say he has secured a first round bye, if I'm correct. If Keaton loses and I win, I believe I would get a bye, and possibly the same thing for Birdo. And so it's going to be a nice little juicy week 13. So I'm in third, Birdo in fourth, fifth we got Mikaru, sixth we got Dipperu, seventh current bubble man is Vic, and then Holden on a thread. We usually never talk about the middlemen, but they are holding on a thread, which is the 2-6-6 teams, which is Luis and UD. You guys have to have a lot of things happen with people in front of you losing, preferably Mick, Dip, and Vic, for you guys to even have a shot of jumping.
It could happen.
Hey, so you're saying there's a chance.
So you're saying there's a chance. The same thing was looking at the same thing last year for me. I hope I can make it in, but if not, then next season is mine.
Yeah, I feel you on that. Hey, crazier things have happened in this league. It's totally possible. And so we'll see kind of how it plays out. I'm excited. We got a lot of Thursday night football games, and we might have a decent feel for how this playoff picture is going to turn out.
I cannot wait.
Let's do this. Are we going to keep it moving? Next up, we got the high versus low point of the week.
Congrats to high point of the week. Congrats to my boy, the Jew, Noah Clevenger, with a high point of 182 points.
All that penny,
chang,
chang. All that penny pinching has officially made you $25, bro. Hey, there always has to be a shitty person of the week, or aka low point of the week. We got JT scoring a whopping 72 points and taking that fat ass L. That Noah scored over 110 points more than you, man. May Birdo have mercy on your soul. Yeah, hit him up with the recap of this year's total winners.
All right, recap of this year's winners. Mick, $50. JC, $25. JT, $25. Cobes, $75.
Yes, sir.
Luis, $25. Noah, $25. Birdo, $50. All right, Bert. And then Vic, $25.
You suck ass.
Alright, next up we got What's It Gonna Take? Alright, first up we got Mick vs. Cobes and Cody Bullied You in High School.
Alright, I think McCaffrey is going to have another huge game for Cobes, man. And I think Miles Sanders is going to have to come through for you as well. And he's going to have a big game against Miami, which he should do because Miami is pretty soft this season.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I am going to go Allen Robinson. I think he needs to have a huge game against Darius Slay. Terrible first name for that corner, but I'm sure he's a good dude.
It's a great first name.
And then I think Hunter Henry. I'm thankful that Victor dropped his ass, after week, 3, 4, or 5 or something, and I just sat on him a few weeks. Not a few weeks, like 6 or 7 weeks, and seems to be paying out for me. But, yeah, I think Henry needs to have a big game.
And now looking at Mick's team, Mark Eager, man, I can't believe the season he's having, man. And the boy's a stud, and I think he's just going to come through for Mick. He's going to have to come through for Mick. And also, Pat Mahomes is, honestly, he's due for a big game, and I think Nick's going to need to have a big one for him to pull out a win this week.
Yeah, and to go right off of that, Patrick Mahomes, I think Travis Kelce is going to have a big game. They're both going against Oakland. Oakland gives up a ton of points to quarterback and wide receivers, and Travis Kelce, obviously he's a tight end, but like he's pretty much a wide receiver that happens to be close to the line. Tight to the end of the line, that is. And then I'm going to go Golden Tate. Golden Tate, I think realistically, no one thought he was going to be putting up double digits every single week. And he's just a PPR machine.
For sure. No doubt.
Yeah. Next matchup, we got D versus Vic. And D bullied you in middle school.
And I'm really sorry about that, Vic, too.
Oh, he's not.
No, I'm not. But Saquon, dog, come on, man. I need you to have one of those huge, huge ass games for me, man. And Mike Evans, not Chris Godwin. I need you to have a fucking big game, dog. Please. Please.
Yeah, I feel you. It's crazy that, Saquon Barkley was, probably ranked number between 1 and 3 from everyone's thing. And obvious injuries happen and stuff, but currently ranked 19th, which is tough. I'm going to go Jack Doyle. I think Jack Doyle is going to have a big game. If Brissett kind of gets in the groove, his knee didn't look right. I know he ran a touchdown in, but now that Eric Ebron is officially on IR, Jack Doyle doesn't have to share the field with any other tight end. And then I think Jacoby Brissett is going to have a big game too. Now that Marlon Mack has officially for sure been ruled out, they can't run the ball like they did all last week when they were down and taking their damn time. Like, Brissett needs to throw the damn ball. And so I think both of the Colts, I'm sure Luis is saying, yes, yes.
And looking at Vic's team, I'm going to go with his Rams starters, Gurley and Cooper Kupp. First of all, the Rams got embarrassed on Monday Night Football versus the Ravens.
Yes, they did.
And I think that Gurley, if Vic is going to win, he's going to need Gurley and Cooper Kupp to have a solid game from both of them.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Julian Edelman. Everyone throws on the Texans, minus this past week, but man, there's no other decent receiver on that team, especially if, oh my gosh, Mohamed Sanu doesn't get to play this week. And then I'm going to go with Adam Thielen. The fool's been out since, I want to say, week week 8.
Yeah.
And so I think, especially if he plays, which it seems like he's going to, I think he's just going to have a monster of a game.
It's going to be tough at Seattle on Monday night, though. First return.
I mean, let's be real. Xavier Rhodes has not looked the same. And I don't know. Seattle's going to throw the ball a lot. And then obviously, I think the Vikings are going to do the same thing. I know Carson Wentz looked like trash last week against Seattle, but I don't think that was the secondary at all. I think it was Carson Wentz just sucking ass.
Your boy.
And this segment was brought to you by Cody's Couples Therapy. Are you dating someone that you trust, and the only thing missing is a best friend that provides unwanted couples therapy? Then my guy, Cody Delmar, is just the man for you. Are you just wanting to hang out with a good friend, but you promised your girl you'd spend time with her? Then Cody is the man to hang out with. If you have to go to work, but your girl is with you and you have no time to take her home, then Cody is the man to leave her with. If she's unhappy and hasn't told you, Cody is the guy she can talk to. And if she's wanting to show her appreciation and a thank you just won't do, Cody is the guy to fuck her. So don't wait. Pick up the phone and dial 940-300-3118. Again, that's 940-300-3118. And if you call now, he will give you his "I'll date my best friend's girl" package absolutely free. So don't wait and call now. You will never find a more fucked up friend. I guarantee it.
All right, next up we got Keaton versus JT and the little old Keat versus the big old meat.
Looking at Keat's team, Aaron Rodgers versus the New York Giants. I think that's written the big game over for A-Rod. I think he's going to shred that New York Giants secondary. And also, I think Nick Chubb versus at Pittsburgh is going to have a big game as well.
Yeah, I'm going to DJ Chark. I'm sure every parent loves that song. I only listened to it like 5 times today. It's crazy.
I know. I love that song.
Yeah, so much. It's awesome. And then I'm going to go T.Y. Hilton, especially if T.Y. is healthy. I think he's going to have a huge game. He just hasn't obviously been healthy these past few weeks. And so I think T.Y. puts up some numbers.
And looking at JT's team, I don't know if he's going to have a big game, but I'm going to will this into existence. Dak Prescott. He didn't have the best game at New England last week. And I think on this short week, it's going to be tough to get Zeke going. So I'm going to say Dak has a big game.
I swear, if JT, and hear me when I say this, if JT starts Dak Prescott over Drew Brees, I will, this fool is going to be guaranteed a dress. Drew Brees is going against Atlanta. It's a primo matchup. And then Dak is going against Buffalo. I really hope that's not true. But let's be honest. JT's team has looked like trash these past few weeks. And I don't see it getting any better. But he's also getting his boy Tyreek Hill back from bye. Hopefully he'll be healthy and kind of ready to go. And so those are my guys.
And also I think Brandon Cooks is going to have a bounce back week for the Rams at Arizona.
Yeah, I agree. They give up the 7th most to wide receivers, so I'm with you. Kind of moving on, game 4, we got Dippy versus D-Balls, and will the real Slim Dustin please stand up? Please stand up.
All right, looking at D-Balls' team, it's going to be tough, man. I think Kamara is going to have a big game on Thursday night at Atlanta.
Yeah.
And then also, I think Robert Woods as well. Staying that same theme for LA, having a bounce back game at Arizona. So I'm going to go with Robert Woods.
Yeah, those are two great picks. I'm going to go with Matt Ryan. I know Julio's kind of banged up, and He might get Hooper back, and I feel like Matt Ryan does decently well against division opponent against the Saints, and I know they're already out of the playoffs. I'm pretty sure. Maybe they're not. I don't know. But Matt Ryan is going to be one of my picks. And then I'm going to go Curtis Samuel. I think he has a solid game. Not sure if it'll be great enough, but they're going against Washington, and DJ Moore should have old man Norris or whatever his name is on DJ Moore. So I'm going to go Curtis Samuel.
Not bad picks. And looking at Dippy's team, Lamar Jackson, bro. MVP talk. The darling of the NFL right now.
It's real.
Can he sustain it? I'm going to go with Lamar. Dip's going to need him to have another big game for him to secure a win. And he's also going to need Austin Eckler, the PPR machine, to get a lot of touches and kind of get a lot of catches to secure him that win.
Yeah, I told Dippy multiple times to trade Eckler, and he kept telling me no. And I wasn't trying to trade for him or anything like that, but Dippy, you know, held strong with him and has been actually a really solid pickup. And yeah, been a
good on you, Dip.
Yeah, way to stay strong, Dip. And I'm gonna go with Tyler Lockett, like I mentioned earlier. Xavier Woods, or Rhodes, has kind of sucked balls this year, so I think Tyler Lockett has a huge game on Monday Night Football. And then I'm going to go TJ Hockenson. I know he just put up a goose egg last week, which was pretty sad. The past 2 weeks have really been awful for him, putting up 1.6 against Dallas and 0 against Washington, which both should have been pretty primo matchups. I think they're going to have to throw the ball a decent amount, and I think TJ Hockenson is one of those guys that gets help out there. All right, Noah versus JT, and can JC borrow a yarmulke for that bald ass spot?
Looking at Noah's team, Deshaun Watson's going to need to have a big game on Sunday Night Football at New England. Well, not at New England, but versus New England. It's going to be tough because that Bill Belichick defense is for real. Yep. It's going to be tough for Deshaun Watson to throw on that secondary. Then also, I think Zach Ertz is going to have a big game against at Miami. I think that will really help Noah's team.
Yeah, I'm going to go Sterling Shepard. He's finally back, and I think Noah should get some sort of help from mine and his trade, which that guy I traded for, he's already off my team. And I'm going to go Jarvis Landry. The fool has put up touchdowns, gosh, in the past few weeks. He has 5 touchdowns in the last 4 weeks, which is pretty impressive, and had 2 last week. And so I'm going to go Jarvis Landry.
And looking at JC's team, I'm going to go with Leonard Fournette and his running backs, James White. I really think that for him to get the win this week, I really think his running backs are going to have a really big game, and both have at least 15-plus points.
Yeah. Every time I look at JC's team, you have to speak about Michael Thomas. The dude has looked above and beyond, even without Drew Brees.
So damn good.
And so he's obviously the number one wide receiver this year, and by a good plenty penny. And then I'm going to do his new acquisition quarterback, Kyler Murray. So the first time he's able to play him himself, and Kyler's going against L.A., and I mean, Lamar Jackson just absolutely destroyed them. Why not another rushing quarterback? All right, the sixth matchup is going to be Burt versus Pat in Operation Kill the Gay Danish Gosling.
Looking at Berto's bench, because Berto always pulls all of his starters.
Yeah, it's super great for us.
But I wonder if he's going to go with Penny or Carson this week after Penny's big game last week. It's going to be tough, but I'm going to go with Galladay and Carson. I think Carson's going to be the running back with a big game for Seattle, and then give me Galladay.
Yeah, the report was that they're going to split some time, but we'll, I guess we'll see how that plays out. I'm going to Josh Jacobs, Kansas, going against Kansas City, gives up the most running backs, most two running backs, both in the pass and on the ground. And then I'm going to go with Kirk Cousins on Monday Night Football. I mentioned it earlier, I think Adam Thielen's going to have a big game, and Kirk Cousins has to throw the ball. So I think Kirk in prime time again does really well.
And looking at Patrick's team, and I'm going to go with some of the players that could have potentially been on your team, Cody, if that RPS trade would have went through. And I'm going to go with D-Hops and Le'Veon Bell. I think Le'Veon Bell is going to have a really good game at Cincinnati. Cincinnati's garbage. And I think D-Hops is going to hopefully have a good game against Stephen Gilmore, even though that guy is he's a beast.
Yeah, I would have not picked that, so I'm pretty solid picks. I'm gonna go Devontae Adams going against the Giants, which give up the second most to wide receivers. I think Devontae Adams has a great game, and to be honest, it's kind of been non-existent, this year because of the injuries, but he's should be the number one wide receiver. I'm going to say he'll be the number one wide receiver this week. And then I'm going to go with Jared Barf against Arizona. I mean, he looked absolutely horrendous on Monday Night Football. I'm surprised Blake Bortles didn't get to play a lot more snaps than he did, but he looked bad, and currently he has 11 touchdowns this year to 12 interceptions. Yikes.
That fool, not good at all.
The fool just got a new deal making $35 million a year. And they have an injury.
Pretty similar to your boy, number 11, right?
Too soon, man. Too soon. This whole team has looked like garbage now that they're paying their quarterback $35 million, their running back like $15 million, and with the old knee injury and all that jazz, man, this team looks like Jeff Fisher is about to start coaching. And they have to pay Ramsey, yeah. It looks like Jeff Fisher might be making a comeback here.
Yes, sir.
All right, last but not least, we got Dre versus Luis in Objects May Appear More Hispanic Than They Really Are.
Man, looking at Dre's team, can't believe I just lost to this team, bro.
Yeah.
But I think Devin Singletary might have a good game at Dallas. Dallas has shown that they've been susceptible to the run, but on a short week, can they really hold up against a young, fresh running back? And then also, I'm going to go with Tyler Boyd versus the New York Jets.
Yeah, I'm going to go Will Fuller, since Stephon Gilmore will probably be on Hopkins almost for sure the entire game. I'm going to go Will Fuller. He's going to be the only person that Deshaun Watson can throw the ball to. And then I'm sure Noah's going to appreciate this pick, but I think Ryan Tannehill is going to, the old A&M graduate. What the hell, bro? You went to UNT. He's going to have a solid game against Indy. I'm sure Luis doesn't like that, but Ryan Tannehill has looked really great. I think last week he threw two touchdowns, and he ran for two touchdowns, and the full put up like 36 points. So he is no Marcus Mariota, that's for sure.
And looking at Luis's team, I think Russ is going to have a big game on Monday night.
Yeah.
At home versus Minnesota. Russ, just something about playing at home. He just always connects to someone on a deep ball for a touchdown. I just feel like he's going to have at least three on Monday night.
Yep.
And then also, I'm going to go with Greg Olsen, man. I think Greg.
Greg.
You know, G-Reg out of the U. I think he could have a big game versus Washington, because I don't think Washington's a very good team. And I think Carolina can dice them up.
Yeah. Obviously, I could do the layup and put Dalvin Cook on Monday Night Football in Seattle, but I'm going to not do that. I'm going to go DK Metcalf. I think this will has been very solid. I know he didn't have the game he probably should have last week against the Eagles. He had a few drop passes, one for actually a touchdown. And then I'm going to go, I should pick one of the four running backs from the Colts, but you know, I will. I'm going to pick Jonathan Williams. I think he's going to be the guy that does the workhorse. I think he had 36 carry or 26 carries last week, and put up a monster 21 points. I think he's going to do very well. And that'll kind of sum it up for us.
This week's matchups.
All right, the first matchup, we got Mick versus Cobes. I got Mick on this one. Congrats on making the playoffs. GG, bro.
I need Mick to lose, so I'm going to go with you, Cobes.
Thankful. Appreciate you. All right, D versus Vic, as much as you just went with me, I got Vic punching his ticket to the playoffs as well.
Bro, come on.
I know. But I'm sorry.
I'm going to go with me. I feel like maybe I might be lucky enough this year to get in, so I'm going to go with me.
Hey, I hope you do, because I would love for Victor not to make the playoffs. I feel like he makes the playoffs almost every damn year. It's quite annoying. All right, Keeper JT, I'm going to go Keet. Wins this one for funsies, making Pat's matchup even more juicy to see who wears that dress.
I'm going to go with Keet, too. I'm going to think he's going to keep the GOAT times rolling with another win.
Yeah, I would love to see JT win this, because that would ultimately give me a first round bye. And JT, I know that fool does not want to be in a dress. Then we got Dip versus Deep Balls. I got Dip on this one. Lamar brings him to the promised land.
Honestly, I think Lamar comes back to earth, and I need Dip to lose, so I'm going to go with you, Deep Balls.
Dang, fool. That fool's MVP. You were just talking him up.
Hey, he's still doing a bad game.
Yeah, that's true. Noah versus JC. I got JC in this one.
I think JC finishes the season strong with another win over Noah.
Yeah. Bert versus Pat. I got Pat on this one, making JT my dress wearer of this year.
Yeah, JT, I'm sorry, bro. I think Pat's team finally shows up, and I think you're in that damn dress.
Sorry, Tizzle. Dre versus Luis in the game that does not matter because both of you guys are out and not fighting for anything. I got Dre winning this one.
Somehow, Dre's team's getting lucky every week, so I got Dre too.
Nice. The Shit Talking Hotline is live. Let's hope we can get some phone calls here shortly. And oh, here's our first caller.
Hey there, Noah. I already got a text from you, probably, I think it was like Tuesday, maybe Monday, giving me the GG. Well, guess what, Noah? Typically, I wouldn't accept those because of the juju. But this holiday season, everybody's going to be having, you know, turkey, gravy, you know, some cranberry sauce, you know, the good stuff. But you know what you're getting this holiday season, Noah? You're getting stuffing. You're getting stuffing because I'm going to shove my fist up your ass and my team's going to fucking wreck your shit. Get that high point from week 12 the fuck out of here, bro. I'm coming for you.
Mick, I have your rosy red ass cheek self this week. I'm going to bend you over and do what you would do to a missing dresser knob, you sick foot fetish ogre looking fuck. Also, please forgive me for making fun of you in high school and in college and as an adult. I'm really working on that. Sorry.
Listen up here, you redheaded ginger lesbian fuck. This is Michelob Ultra.
It's a week 13 showdown for the ages, and I'm about to take you out of the playoffs. Nobody wants to see your ass winning three in a row. Or not in a row, but three championships. One we can discredit since the league wasn't, 14 people. But it's all whatever. Nobody wants to see you win. This is my time, boy. This is my time to shine. I'm going all in. GG, motherfucker!
Thanks for the phone calls, fellas. Let's close this up. D-Nice, I've known you forever, dog. I know you have to leave here shortly, but to do your thing. But I wanted to say thank you for being on. I appreciate you contributing through this year on the pod and different ways, from going into a bathroom stall on an airplane to do the start of the show. And I know you travel a lot and don't get to see your fam as much as you can and want, but you're doing this pod, so I appreciate you, and I hope, bro, that you squeak your ass into these playoffs.
Thanks, Cobes. I really appreciate you having me on the pod. This is a lot of fun. I never want to do this again. I appreciate everybody being patient with my stumbling and stuttering throughout this podcast. I went to college to be behind the camera and behind the mic, and I do not want to ever do this again, but this was a lot of fun.
All right, dude. Well, I appreciate it. Boys, until next week, we'll see you then.